Praise the Lord. We're going to have a lesson talking about how God will provide himself a lamb. And I preached this one time several years ago, but we're just going to talk about how, you know, the Word of God calls the Lord Jesus Christ the Lamb of God many times. He is the Lamb of God. He is the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus, that God the Father gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's exactly what takes place when we receive Christ as our Savior. We have everlasting life. We're going to be in heaven with the Lord one of these days, and it's for eternity that we are saved. Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about how God has provided himself a lamb. And in the book of Genesis 22:8, Abraham was told to offer his son unto the Lord. It was, he had another son that he had by the handmaiden, you know, but that wasn't the one God had chosen. And God wanted him to be willing to offer up anything that God had given to him if God required it. And here we know that this chapter 22, if you want to read this at home, if you haven't, it's very, very beautiful story about how God told Abraham to take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and go out to this place that I'm going to show you, and you offer him as a sacrifice unto me. And Abraham did that. He obeyed what God told him to do. But when he got out there, the Lord had it all planned, had it taken care of. Notice in verse 8 of chapter 22, Abraham said, because his son asked him, he said, why aren't we taking a lamb with us to sacrifice? And here in this verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. So that's exactly what God our Father did. He supplied the Lord Jesus Christ for us to have salvation, for us to have this wonderful place in heaven. And oh my, Mary, the mother of Jesus, we're going to read in a moment some things about the birth of Christ, but she didn't know quite what to think at first when the angel told her that you're going to be the mother of Messiah. People in those days that loved God and studied the word at all or heard the word taught in their homes or anything, they knew that Messiah was to come, and to be the chosen one, to be the mother of Jesus was a great thing, a great privilege. And of course we know that. We've all heard that teaching many, many times. But we want to just go ahead and go a little bit further here with Abraham and his son. Notice in verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You know, this was in an area that wasn't very far from where Jesus was crucified on the mount there. And so this was an amazing thing. God had provided himself a lamb for the burnt offering. The Lord had caused Abraham to tell his son that. Don't be afraid. God is going to provide someone to be the offering. And so in verse 10 and verse 9, he came to that place and he laid the wood in order and he bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. Seest thou that seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me? And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for the burnt sacrifice, burnt offering, in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh. that those words there mean God is our provider. God is our provider. And as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So it's a beautiful story, and it's a beautiful fact that God provided a sacrifice. And that's what he did for us. Jesus Christ, born little baby, just as helpless as any little baby that there ever has been in his birth, from the time of birth. And God providing everything that was needed. All of us know the stories, the shepherds coming. And so I have some things to talk to you about. I've used this before, but I really felt led to do this. So, Jesus Christ's birth was in Bethlehem to be the place where Jacob buried his wife, Rachel. Jesus was of the seed of David. Mary and Joseph both. We've gone over that in this. Joseph, who's not the real dad of Jesus, but he was a descendant through Solomon and would have been king of Israel if God had allowed that, because Israel had not obeyed God and things were bad. And here is this man named Joseph. It wasn't just a chance. It wasn't just, Mary likes Joseph. No, that isn't it. God had a divine plan. And then Mary, what did she have? She also was a daughter of King David. Her father was Nathan, another son of David. Solomon didn't always walk with God, even though he had many, many benefits from God. He was a very wise man in a lot of things. But this other man named Nathan, he is actually the generation that where Jesus finally was born, of the son Nathan. It's amazing, isn't it, how God works things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Bethlehem is where Jesus was born. The word means the house of bread, and it was in Ephratah, which means fruitful. This was a place that God had in the plan that his son would be born. And this was a city of David, you see. A lot of people don't really understand that, but even in the book of Revelation, it talks about Jesus being the son of David. David was the king that God honored in Israel, and Jesus Christ is going to be the coming king here one of these days, very, very soon. He was born of the right generation in the natural, and he was, of course, called of God. In Micah 5:2, it says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So who is that? Who's had their being be from everlasting? It was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ that was prophesied there in the book of Micah. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Matthew 2:5, when the wise men came, the chief scribes and the priests and all of them, they came to explain to Herod about where to find the little king. And they looked it up in the scripture, and it said there in the scripture, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. So why did God send little Mary and her husband there to Bethlehem all that way? So why did all that happen? It just seemed like a terrible thing for a poor old... No, you men don't understand this, but women that are pregnant that far along, we don't like going places, especially on a donkey. But it was God's will that child be born right there in the city of David, because the prophecies that were going to be of Jesus Christ, the son of David, would be the king of the whole earth. Praise the Lord. Isn't that something? Glory to God. So, in Matthew 2:5, it says, when the chief priests and scribes came to explain to Herod about where to find this little king, They knew. That's what I just told you. They knew by the scripture where Jesus would be. In Bethlehem, that's where he's to be brought. So, in the book of 1 Samuel 16, verses 4 through 13, let's look back there. 1 Samuel, Old Testament, many of you already know that, but going to chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. Now, Samuel was a man of God, a great prophet, and, of course, he... Old Saul was the king of Israel at the time, and God had it all in mind that David was going to be the king. Remember that? So, looking in chapter 16, verse 4, it says here, God is talking to Samuel. In verse 2, it says, "And Samuel said, how can I go? Samuel was a great prophet of God. If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And so Samuel did that which the Lord spoke, and he came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and they said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. And so this is the scripture that teaches us about Samuel coming there to Jesse's house, and Jesse had all of these children, these sons. Notice in verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, because Samuel said, I'm here to put a crown on one of your sons. He's going to be the king. And so Abinadab made him pass before Samuel, and Jesse made Abinadab do this, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And in verse 7, the latter part, it says, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So they go down through the whole group of boys there. Shammah came, and he wasn't the one. And all of the seven sons in verse 10 passed there. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord had not chosen these. He said, is there another child? And they said, yes, there's a child. He's just a kid. He's out there in the pasture taking care of the sheep. But that was the chosen one to be. Jesus would be born of the seed of David. It's amazing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. In Matthew 1, it is a Joseph's genealogy. You and I, we've gone through this before. It talks about Joseph and his descent, but Jesus was not literally of Joseph, was he? And so in Luke, the third chapter, beginning in verse 23 through 38, the word begins to teach us who Jesus really was. And there is Mary's genealogy. Let's look at that in Luke, the third chapter, and as I said, this is something we've had before, but it's very important. This begins with the 23rd verse of Luke, okay? Luke 3, 23. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was it supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. So Mary was this man that she's saying that Joseph, the scripture says that Joseph was this man's son. We've already had the genealogy of Joseph in Matthew, so he was not the literal son of Heli. Heli was actually the father of Mary, but in those days, you know, women didn't have much say about things. And so when she married Joseph, he was the leader, and he was, it says that it was his father, but when you go on down, you realize that it's speaking about Mary's side. Let's look at here at verse 23, and then going on to verse 24, which was the son of Matthai, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, and so on down. I'm not going to read all of them. Going on down, let's go to the verse 30. which was a son of Simeon, which was a son of Judah, which was a son of Joseph, which was a son, so forth. And then going down to verse 31, the latter part, which was a son of Nathan, which was a son of David. And so this is how Jesus' genealogy through his mother Mary, which actually was, you know, he was born of her, not of Joseph. But praise the Lord, God was always there, wasn't he? And this genealogy goes clear back to the Old Testament. Notice in verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Jesus Christ was not kin to Cain, who killed his brother. He was kin to the next child that was born, Seth. I believe it's chapter 5 of Genesis. You can read about Seth. God brought about Seth as the son of Adam. And praise the Lord, this is where the Lord Jesus came in the natural sense. He was a human. He was brought into the human side, but yet he was the spiritual Son of God. Praise the Lord. I hope all of us agree with all of this. So in Luke, the second chapter, verse 4, let's look there. This is where, when Mary and Joseph went up to Bethlehem, because Mary was big with child, and they were going, that's in verse 5, they were going up to Bethlehem because the government, Caesar Augusta, their leader, had made this decree that they had to go there for the taxation. And so they did that. And it was a terrible trip. I know it must have been a terrible trip. She was big and ready for the birth. And here she is riding a donkey along to get there. I'm sure that all of us that have babies, have had babies, were glad we weren't Mary. And going on there in verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It's a really interesting thing that very close to where the shepherds were taking care of their sheep, we're going to read in a moment, verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. One of the things that we find out from history is that these sheep, these shepherds, worked for the Israelite priests, the priests down in Jerusalem. They were raising sheep for the sacrifice. That's what I have read. And so when it talks about them being in the field, they're taking care of these sheep so that the sacrifices can go on in Jerusalem. And that's the way it had happened. Usually in the Old Testament, the people brought the sheep. But in this case, these were raised by the priests there around Bethlehem. And so, notice as we read on in verse 9, these shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. And according to right now, the tower is there, where they had to climb up on this tower and watch for enemies to come. So they weren't on the tower this night. They were probably right on the ground, trying to get a little sleep and watch over their sheep. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Praise the Lord. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. This means when she kept, it means that she treasured these things and that she was humble before the Lord in a submissive attitude. Isn't that beautiful to think about? She'd gone through a lot. She had been judged wrongly by people and people that wanted Joseph to just divorce her before they were married, you know, but get rid of her because they didn't think that she was a person, right person, and a godly person, but God chose her. And notice what the shepherds did in verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and that as it was told unto them. Praise the Lord. How beautiful. We could go on and read these things, but praise the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. Praise the Lord. He came down. There's a song that says he came down to our level so we could come up to his. If he hadn't done this, we would not be saved. There would be no Savior. Isn't that something just to be thankful for, that he was willing to come? Why did he come? Just so people could say, well, what a cute little baby. That's not why. He came to live and die, that you and I might live and not die spiritually. Praise the Lord. We're going to heaven because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior, our Lord. Oh, how precious it is to know him. Thank you, Jesus. My dad was a minister. I've told you this before, but you know, when I was 5 years old, I kind of sat at the back of the church. I don't know why Mother let me do that, but we had another little babe under me. So Daddy got up and preached about the mark of the beast. Boy, I did not want to be here during the tribulation time and all of that. You know, it really struck me. I was 5 years old, and I got down on my knees on the back seat back there, and I said, Lord, save me. Save me. And I really received the Lord as my Savior. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. He's been such a blessing to me all of my life. All my life, he's always been with me and kept me through all kinds of tragedies and things. And he's always so faithful. And I'm telling you right now, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and really count him as being your Lord, he's the one governing your life and taking care of you, you're not going to miss out. You're going to be so blessed every day because you can go to him instantly. You can go to him anywhere you are. And he is just so faithful. I can't even begin to tell you how faithful he is to me. As I'm getting older, I lose things. And the other day, I lost something important, and I said, Lord, you just got to help me. And I just prayed and walked right into the living room and found it on the floor. I have no idea what it was doing on the floor because it wasn't something I normally put on the floor. But the Lord is our helper, and he is our Savior. He loves us so much, and I'm so thankful that we know him as our Lord and as our Savior. So we don't worship him as the baby in Bethlehem, but we know he was the Son of God, and he is now the Son of God on the right hand of the Father. The scripture says, waiting for us. He's going to give a call, and he's going to come back. And he's going to call his dear people that love him and seeking after him and working. He's going to take us away one of these days. And it's going to be precious and wonderful to see him. Isn't it? Glory to God.